In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is here.
If I were to tell you today that you don't need your Old Testament, that in fact you could take it out of your Bible altogether and disregard it altogether, most of you would rightly be concerned by that statement. Because after all, there was an ancient heresy of the church that taught that very thing. And it was condemned because the Old Testament is to have a place in the life of the church, and it does down to this present day and hour. The scriptures from the Old Testament are read in our services. There is a reading from at least the Psalms in just about every service of the church. Yet we must understand that the apostles' words in the epistle to the Galatians today were just as shocking, and just as much of an assumption would be made about the strong statement that he makes. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything but a new creation. Those words, in his context, were revolutionary. Those words were upsetting to many people. They got people riled up. There were those who would accuse the apostle of trashing his heritage. Those that would say that the apostle Paul was misguided and confused. Even some would say that the apostle Paul was no apostle at all. We need to understand the context of circumcision to understand the apostles' words this morning. Circumcision was given as a sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And it was given to represent that covenant, to remember that covenant, and it was a symbol of something deeper, a spiritual truth, of a heart that was consecrated to God. In fact, the prophets pick up on this theme as they speak to that and say, in effect, that you have to circumcise your heart. We have to cut away the sinful and old ways of the heart. And our heart needs to be renewed in the love of God, in the grace of God. Circumcision had its place in Judaism. And circumcision certainly had a significant spiritual meaning to it. Yet it was never the end in itself. It was never the point. It was never the goal of their spiritual endeavors. Circumcision was to be a symbol. It symbolized that heart and that life that was consecrated to God. It was never an end in itself. But in fact, over the centuries, what happened? Legalism took hold in many people's lives. Legalism was a prevalent mindset that was in the context of the life of the first century, Judaism. It was a problem that Jesus confronted regularly, and he addressed many times in his teachings, in his parables. It was a problem that continued to plague the Apostle Paul as well. Throughout his ministry, legalism would come up, not in the context of his teaching, but those that would follow after him, Judaizers, who would come in after him. After the Apostle Paul would found a church in any given city, the Judaizers would come into that city after Paul went to the next city. And they would then teach their strange gospel and their teachings. And one of those teachings was, you must be circumcised, Gentile or not. You must be circumcised, you must subscribe to all of the Old Testament law, even the ceremonial law. You need to be in undertaking these for yourselves. So legalism was certainly a problem that followed the Apostle Paul throughout his ministry. And the problem with legalism lies in its inner core and its foundation that is certainly off. On the outside, legalism can look really good. You can look at somebody's life who might be very legalistic. And from the outside, looking at their life, you think that their life is in order, you think that they're doing things well. It looks really good from the outside because it's all about appearances. Legalism is keeping up those external manifestations while the inner reality may be distant or bankrupt. It takes something good and essentially distorts it. It holds to the symbol, even rigidly, while forgetting its true meaning and its purpose. That's the problem with legalism. And in fact, that was how circumcision was being focused upon in the first century. It was a legalistic act that somehow once you've done that legalistic external thing, you fulfilled all of your obligation to God, and you could deny the rest of the inward reality of the heart. And that is not true at all. That is not in what circumcision was ever about. So we need to remember, as the Apostle Paul writes these words to the Galatians, that the Galatians are essentially Gentile Christians. An audience that is primarily Gentile converts to Christ. They're not coming from Judaism. They're coming from a completely Gentile context. And they did not need to embrace circumcision. That was the ruling of the first church council in Acts 15, that circumcision was not to be imposed upon the Gentiles. Why is that? It's because in that decision, what we're recognizing is that Gentiles who come to Christ don't first need to come to Judaism. You don't have to come through Judaism to embrace Christ. You don't first need to undergo the initiation rite of Judaism, which was circumcision if you were a convert to Judaism. You don't need to first do that and embrace all that Judaism is and then embrace Christ as the Messiah who has come as the fulfillment of all the Old Testament. You can simply bypass all that if you're a Gentile and be united to Christ in baptism and thus become part of the Christian community. You don't first have to embrace Judaism to embrace Christ. But there were those that were the Judaizers of the first century who were misguided and legalistic individuals who came into the region of Galatia preaching circumcision, preaching that you must be circumcised, and casting doubt, in fact, on the Apostle Paul's credentials. They were teaching them to embrace all that Judaism was. And the result in the Christian communities of that region were that they all got confused. They didn't know what to believe anymore. The Apostle Paul came and taught us this way, and now here they're coming and telling us all these things that sound right and sound good, and we don't know what we're supposed to do. And that's the context for the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians. He's trying to alleviate that confusion. He's trying to come into that context of confusion and bring clarity. And so he writes those very strong words, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything but a new creation. See, the Apostle Paul wasn't seeking to trash his Jewish heritage. He wasn't abolishing the law. He was seeking to protect these Christians, these particular Christians, from legalism. He was seeking to protect them from standards that did not apply to them as Gentiles. He was directing their focus to where it needed to be, on the inward reality of spiritual life that was found in Christ, that we are in fact made a new creation in Christ by being united to Christ through baptism. This isn't a current struggle in the church. We don't have Judaizers who are found in various places of the diocese trying to convert Christians into the ways of Judaism. It's not a current struggle, but the threat that this struggle presented in the first century is certainly still around, and that is the threat of legalism. And it's because legalism is something that comes from within our humanity. It's easy to hold on to external things, and it's hard to address our own hearts and look inward and recognize the reality that's going on inside us. The threat of legalism remains because it is this very dynamic that is a very human, real dynamic that we also, you know, can easily fall prey to. It's easy to focus on the external forms and forget their inner meaning. And certainly in the context of Orthodoxy, we have so many external components of our faith. We can get all caught up in all the forms and all of the accoutrements of our faith and forget that our heart is essentially the focus of what our spiritual endeavors are all about. That's the target that we're aiming towards. And all the external forms, they're pointing to that inward reality that needs to be taking place in our heart. All the external disciplines, all the components of our faith, they serve a purpose, but that purpose is to help us in our focus, to keep us on target. They're tools to help us draw near to Christ, to know Christ, to love Christ. They're aids in our spiritual struggles. They're weapons in spiritual battle. But these externals are just that. They're things that help us towards the real essential goal. They themselves are not the goal. They are not the point. They are not the end in themselves. They are simply the means to the end. And what is that end this morning? You must always consider and turn to what is that end. And it is repetitive, yes, but we need to always be focused upon this reality. What then is our rightful focus? What is the appropriation we journey towards? And it is Christ himself. The answer is Christ. That essentially what the apostle wrote to the Galatian believers is true for every one of us. That we are a new creation in Christ. And thus, we need to know Christ. We need to love God above all else in our life. We are a new creation in Christ, and we need to seek to renew our hearts through the acts of repentance. We are a new creation in Christ, and we need to focus on our heart because ultimately that's where Christ dwells, in the depths of our heart. And thus, that's where we have to turn. As Orthodox Christians, we do many external things. We fast, we pray, we give alms, we partake of the sacraments, We bow, we venerate, we prostrate. But we don't do these external things out of a legalistic obligation, or as though they're the point and that doing those things we've fulfilled all of our obligation to God. We can pat ourselves on the back on a job well done because we've checked off all our boxes. No. In fact, it's possible to do these external things and in fact our heart to be very far away from God. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you've witnessed people. But the reality is nonetheless true. It's possible to do the external things and our heart to be completely devoid of any reality of what's going on there. Jesus himself told a parable about that, speaking of the day of judgment, that there would be many that come to him and say, Lord, we did all these things in your name. We cast out demons, we performed miracles, we gave alms in your name. We did all these things. And what is the response? The Lord says, depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. See, there's a reality that's there that Jesus himself was illuminating us toward, that he was showing us that it is possible to do stuff and our heart not be in those things that we're doing. For our heart to be, in fact, far from God and not even know God in the experience of what we're doing. And thus it is that we have to recognize in our faith, in the practice of our faith, it's possible to do the external stuff in a legalistic, obligatory way, and our heart to be distant from God, not addressing the real thing that we need to be addressing in our heart. Being renewed in Christ is the whole point of our Christian life. It's the process that begins in our, as we begin our journey with Christ, we're united to him with Christ in baptism, but it's a process that is ongoing throughout our life. It's not over and done with once we're baptized, that's it. It's an ongoing reality that develops throughout our life, that we're continuing to be renewed through the power of Christ who dwells within us. We're renewed and we continue in that renewal. We are made a new creation and we continue to walk in that reality by inviting Christ to continue to work in our hearts, to transform us and to renew us from within. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything but a new creation. See, the externals of the faith, they have their place, but they're not the point. The externals help us towards those inward struggles, the inward transformation that we need to be addressing. The focal point is always Christ, who dwells in our hearts. We must continue to grow in the love and the grace of God. We need to continue to consecrate our hearts and our lives to God. We need to continue on the path of repentance that leads to the renewal of our hearts. The internal is the true focus that we need to be aiming towards. The true focus that we are, in fact, a new creation in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.